Okay, what were his questions?
So the Ananda Vrindavan Prabhu has two questions, one connected to yesterday's class where we spoke about praying to Vaishnavas. And his question was that when we approach Vaishnavas and pray to them, who fulfills our requests for spiritual things? Is it Krishna? Because he's pleased that we are approaching a devotee with our spiritual desire and not him directly? Or is it the Vaishnava who kind of, through Krishna, senses our requests and then he personally fulfills our desire? Like we approach Bhagavan or Thakur, is he going to reciprocate or is it Krishna who will reciprocate?
Vanchakalpratinamyascha. Vaishnavas have their own. They're empowered. That's what it means when you're empowered. When you're empowered to do something, just like if you're working for some employer and he gives you a position, he empowers you to do something. You're the one who's doing something, but because he's empowered you. So by that empowerment, then you do it. So Vaishnavas are empowered by Krishna, and they can, independent of Krishna, do what they want. Of course, no one's independent of Krishna, but they can bestow mercy independently of Krishna, and Krishna's mercy follows their mercy. So, from a from that type of perspective, the perspective of the difference, they're doing everything. Of course, not a blade of grass moves without Krishna, but Vaishnavas are doing, and then it can be in many ways. It can be Krishna may be pleased that a Vaishnava is giving blessings, and he may give even more. But if Vaishnava doesn't give, Krishna doesn't give. Yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada. So
when we pray to the Vaishnava, it's the Vaishnava who directly hears our prayers? Because there's so many people praying, so it's kind of...
So, very mystical and transcendental affair. It depends also on the level of the Vaishnava. And where the Vaishnava, how the Vaishnava is situated.
Like the Bhagavatam says, Shukadeva Goswami can enter into everyone's heart. So some are able to hear directly and some are hearing it through.
Yeah, if one is praying to Vaishnava and that Vaishnava is maybe a pure soul but may not be so advanced, then Yogakshem Vahamiyam, then Krishna will act. But if the empowerment is there, even if that devotee is not necessarily conscious, but still the empowerment is such, the Guru Shakti and Kripa Shakti are such that they still act in any case. And the credit goes to the person, whether the person's consciously active or not, but it depends upon the intact relationship. But the relationship has to be intact. It has to be working.
He had another question connected to today's class where you spoke about the importance of hearing. And his question was that people who would need to hear the most often don't come to listen? And how can either devotees be further inspired to focus more on hearing, or even non-devotees, how can we give them a taste for hearing?
Well, non-devotees, we give them Prabhupada's books and get them to do something, and by that, for some of them or many of them, they become inspired, and then they become devotees and start reading, and then comes the next problem, is what happens when they become devotees and they don't read. I guess that's we can try in different ways to encourage people to do that, and it's certainly a real challenge. Well, ultimately, whatever other people are doing or not doing, we should be doing it. There's a certain point we make spending so much time trying to get other people to do things that we're losing our own time to do it. So, everyone needs to save themselves.
It's hard when the cure is hearing about Krishna and we can't administer the cure. Then what's the hope?
Then, in some future life, not necessarily that everyone can go back to Godhead in one life, but not necessarily that everyone is going to make the requisite effort or do the requisite service for that. But at least they made the connection with Krishna consciousness, and so they're on the path, and that's the wider or the broader spectrum of Krishna consciousness, is that as more and more people get into it, you've got different varieties of practitioners, or even non-practitioners, who at some future time will become practitioners. So ultimately, that's why Arjuna does raise the question that what happens to the unsuccessful yogi. So Krishna says that purva abhyasena tena, purva abhyas, they'll just continue on from where they left off, and that's how Narada starts in the beginning. So there's no loss, it's only gain. So why not do it? What's the next verse after that? So even if one isn't successful, but still he doesn't lose anything. Therefore, everyone has to save themselves. No point in drowning along with other people.
Sometimes you also emphasize, Guru Maharaj, that we need to be creative in how we preach so that people can absorb what we're trying to say, like Sunday programs. We use slides and things that make it more easy to digest things rather than just a hearing. For some people, visuals help. And
Yeah, but that sort of arouses people's interest, but ultimately opening your ears, opening your heart is sort of a common phenomenon, and you can't avoid making the type of effort that it does require to get in there. So yes, you can arouse people's interest in Krishna consciousness, but ultimately everyone has to chant. Just like you can get all kinds of novel ways to get people to start chanting Hare Krishna, but ultimately they're going to have to sit down and lean against the wall and chant 16 rounds, and there's no creativity involved. It's just that you have to do suddenly. You just have to do it. Because in many places it says Krishna has created this system. It's in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's in the Bhagavatam. Krishna says, I created this process of bhakti yoga. So you need to also honor Krishna's methodology. Okay, that's it.